Yes, yeehaw. It is Thursday. It is 9. So it's another UK Cowboys time. And not only do we get the poll, we've got the GW with us.
Woo-hoo.
Brilliant. How are we doing, guys? We doing all right?
Could be better. Let's be honest. It could be better.
Bearing up under the strain of it all.
Yeah, put it this way. When I stated that all the facts have went wrong so far in terms of free agency, my tweet went bloody mental. Over 1,000 likes, my tweet got. Like, it's just... And this is why people are just highlighting, like, this is a problem here. Like, we haven't addressed... The only thing we've only addressed is by bringing in Hendricks. But everything else seems to be lingering and lingering and lingering. And I'm just like, do we really want to win a championship here? Like, well, I'm just kind of lost for words, if I'm being honest. I really am.
Grazies.
It's tough to argue with.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it wasn't so long ago Jerry said we were all in. You know, like,
don't start me on that one, Graham.
Oh no.
Like, are you trying to sell season tickets or are you trying to win a Super Bowl?
See, that's a good question though, Graham. When you think about it, if Jerry's saying all in, right, and we're seeing XYZ, LVE retiring, Gallup gone, Gilmore's not coming back, XYZ are all gone, McCarthy's on his last year, Zimmer's on a one-year deal, Dak's negotiations has not been happening, Lamb not happening so far, Parsons happened not so far. How can you not be excited? If I was a fan, it's until I see something drastically happen, I am not paying any money for tickets. Like, and I can understand a lot of fans are going to boycott this, but at the same time, like, I still do have faith in terms of the, like, recruitment in some way, especially when it comes to the draft. But we only have 7 draft picks, and we've lost over 11 players.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of them are key players.
I know it's... I've heard it referred to as silly season. Like, agents will say a lot of silly things. Players will say a lot of silly things, and the teams will as well, obviously. The latest one I've heard is that the Cowboys are quite happy to let Dak play on the current deal, and we'll talk about it at some point. Now, what I don't get, if he is your guy, get him signed up, because right now his cap number is crippling us. I get the whole, you know, like, it's, you know, we'll get it done and we'll remove the void years, and, you know, let's face it, he will be the highest paid player in the league at some point. Somebody's going to give him that contract. So what are they doing? To me, they're either playing it cool with, you know, like, we could find out at the end of next week that he's got a brand new 5-year deal, a brand new 280 million, whatever the number is going to be. We could find that out at any time. But see, right now, there's an awful lot of question marks. And when you see that team in the Northeast signing this quality player, signing that quality player, I mean, the Devin White one, the Devin White signing is the most scariest. I'm not too concerned about Barkley. I think Barkley's injury prone and he's as good as he's ever going to be. To bring in somebody like Devin White, you know, that's a statement move.
Yeah, it's kind of like replacing tough. Brandon Graham. Yeah,
it's tough because we have two holes on offense, the offensive line. We've just got rid of our number two receiver. We don't have a starting caliber running back. You would expect them to at least fill something, you know, like bring in an above average player at one of those positions. But right now, Will McClay has his work cut out because they're not bringing in anybody.
We don't have the money. That's the problem. We don't have the money. And here's the funny thing, no, Graham. Here's the funny thing. When I say we don't have the money, take away the salary cap out the equation. We are the richest sports franchise in the world. It's laughable. Yeah. It's surely laughable. It's like, yeah, we know how to make money, but we certainly don't know how to spend it efficiently at the moment. And the way how things are going right now is we just... There's other teams out there that are making all these great moves. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be some moves like it might make the headlines and it might not work out for them. Like, I'm not particularly too worried about Devin White myself, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think he is a good player to kind of go towards the Eagles and for their philosophy in terms of their defense, for sure. But Barkley, again, like the big names, but I don't know if they're going to be like, let's be honest with them. So Saquon Barkley, he's going to be number two running back behind Jalen Hurts. So
I get that Mike's only asked one question, and the two of us are fired up. But is there not a case where, like, you just round off so many reasons there, Paul? Like, Dak's on his last year. They haven't signed CeeDee Lamb yet. They haven't extended him. McCarthy's on a 1 year. Does this not all point towards a new head coach in 2025 and a truckload of money to use?
Yeah.
Is it not pointing at that right now?
It feels like a rebuild.
I think it is.
Me and Mike talked about this in the World's Team 2 weeks ago now, I believe.
Last week.
Well, I think it was even before that as well. But I'll read out my tweet, the one that got a lot of attraction. So, no new Dak contract, lack of free agency activity, Mike McCarthy on his last year of contract, Mike Zimmer on a 1 year deal, LVE retired, Pollard gone, Hankins gone, Tyron Smith gone, Dorrance Armstrong gone, Tyler Biadasz gone, Michael Gallup gone, Dante Fowler gone, Neville Gallimore gone, Igbonogene gone, Stephen Gilmore not re-signing, Cooper Rush on his last year of his contract, no Micah Parsons extension talk yet, no Lamb extension talk yet, and only 7 draft picks. It's not fun to be a Cowboys fan at the moment.
Just had a quick check at next year. $90 million in cap space.
Yeah. Dead cap, yeah.
No, cap space.
No, cap space.
Spending power.
But here's the trouble, right, Gray, when you say that. Yes, they do. But if you have a look at how many players they have.
Oh, very little.
They've got like 31 players under contract.
Yeah, again, points to let's start again. Let's bring in a hot new offensive coordinator that's just taking his offense to the playoffs and give him a truckload of money to go and spend. In my opinion, they'd be silly not to get all three of them done. But see, now it's a stage where, say you do restructure that, say you do extend Dak and you give him the 55, 60 million, whatever ridiculous number it's going to be. I'm not having a dig at the number. That is the going rate for a starting quarterback. And Dak is at least, nobody can argue with me that Dak is not at least a top 15. He is certainly a top 15. Top 5, top 10, we can discuss. But he is definitely above average. And above average quarterbacks, no matter who they are, as soon as they get their deal done, they go straight to the top of the tree automatically.
I totally agree with you. Here's the thing, right? Remember when all the media says, yeah, Dak's not really that good. Now the media's saying now because the Cowboys are in turmoil, it's like, yeah, Dak could be a fantastic, he's one of the best players that were to go on free agency. Like, giving him all the praise is like, what a bunch of tongue-coats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know.
So anyway, how you make?
Hi. They even said a freaking what?
You keep going. That's what I'm here for, mate. I'm just here to set you guys up so you can roster.
Set us
it.
Off, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I'm about to do it again now with the next one.
It literally felt like this, that scene for the Dark Knight, and here we go.
But I mean, like, let's strike some of the comments Jerry has made this week, right? So let's start off at the top of the tree, right, with Dak. So we have contradictory comments, and those have contradicted themselves again, right? So we get the news that Dak Prescott and contract talks haven't happened. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. At the moment, everything in that respect is on pause. Then Jerry comes out later this week and says, Dak's our guy, Dak's our quarterback. And then he even makes a comment to say, there are only so many quarterbacks in the NFL that can carry you to a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott, in Jerry's words, is one of them. So we have the issue of we're not extending Dak yet, right? And now I do have a theory here. He doesn't want to extend him yet, but he sees him as a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. What is going on, do you guys think? And we'll talk about what is going on in Jerry's head in a moment, because something else has cropped up that needs talking about. But what do we make of these contradictory statements that are being made right now, as well as the contradictory movements that they're making?
I think Jerry's acting like Mr. Magoo at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Like, you made a really good comment when we did the Worlds team. It's like, we just wish Jerry and Steven just to be brutally honest with us, that we can get behind with. Like, just say, yeah, we're not going to make much signings, like, because of obviously we're going to try and fix these deals to try and help increase that. That's all we need to hear. Don't, like, say one thing and contradict the other, and it's just gonna annoy the fan base even more. Like, and it's getting really frustrating. Like, I mean, I still will appreciate what Jerry and Steven have done. They've built AT&T, they've built the Star, they've made it into one of the richest franchises in the world, but we're not showing anything for it in terms of championships at the moment. And with them, how they deal with the media, keep as relevant because the media, because it's America's team, the world's team, but we just rather focus if we can actually get to the Super Bowl. It's like, when you're saying the comments like all in, it's like, from our perspective, all in means you're doing whatever it takes to get the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're coming back to contradict that, to say, no, that's not exactly what we kind of mean, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I said, so well, what do you mean? Just be brutally honest with us. It's like, we're getting one story there and another story there, and it's crossing wires here. So I'm just absolutely sick of this whole, the whole media about it.
Go on, Greg.
It strikes to me like, the only thing I can think of is that Dak and Jerry and whoever Dak's agent is, they're much further down the road than is coming out right now. And they're basically letting Jerry have his moment with the media whenever, because Jerry's never met a microphone that he didn't like. So that's the only thing I can think of. Because as we sit here right now, Dak Prescott could be playing for somebody else April 2025, whether we like it or not. There's a quick reminder for everybody, there's no trade clause, there's no franchise tag. He could sign for whoever he likes. And does this behavior display, yes, Dak, we want to keep you, you're our guy, we love you, there's your $58 million or whatever the number is, there it is, just sign the paper. It doesn't display that to me. It displays, well, Dak, you know what? You've been our quarterback for some years now, and you haven't got us past the divisional round, and that concerns us a little bit.
Here's the thing regards to that, right? we cannot blame Dak for that Packers game. Really, that
absolutely
was on
not.
That no. was on Dan Quinn that caused us that loss. So, to me, I still believe in Dak Prescott, and I think, and I always will, because I still think he can be that guy. I think he just needs more of those weapons to help assist him in that, and especially bolster up that offensive line, which is two main priorities that we're thinking about going into this draft.
I don't agree with Rex Ryan very often, but Rex Ryan, it was Monday after, Tuesday after, he said that it was idiotic to blame the offense and Dak Prescott for that result, because it wasn't Dak Prescott that let the Packers score on four opening drives. I can still see it now.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense. Like, it's not Dak's fault that Dan Quinn decided randomly in a Packers game to go complete zone.
I play zone when he's playing man coverage all year.
Well, yeah. And play... I think he played five and six defensive backs on virtually every play. We hadn't done that all season, so why? Although I will say, in counter for your argument, Paul, Dak did make his mistakes in the playoff game.
He did.
He's not completely dissolved of blame, but he isn't to blame for the defensive woes that happened. And those defensive woes then had an effect on the offense.
Exactly. Like, it's putting unnecessary pressure for Dak to make mistakes that he wouldn't normally do.
Makes a one-dimensional offense.
Exactly. It's like it's desperation. And when you become desperate, the risk of making mistakes becomes significantly higher.
Yeah. And I mean, look, just to put things in perspective, I don't know if you've seen the pictures this week. Jerry Jones was talking, and he explained for virtually nearly an hour of what he meant by all in.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But what was more concerning to me was that he had a pen and a notepad in front of him.
I saw that, and it's a scribble.
It's just squiggles and circles and lines and squares, and you're just like, what's going through your mind, mate?
That is literally what has happened this offseason. It's like it's a whole spaghetti junction of pure madness.
Yeah, that is the issue. Is when I seen that, I was like, that's a guy who's gone mad. That's craziness. Virtually on a piece of paper. Mike, you could do a thing, you know, like when they tell like kids or whatever, like clear your mind, empty your mind, and just draw the first thing that comes into your head. And that is like, in Jerry's mind, he's kind of like, let me just write something without thinking about it. What would I draw? And it was just complete lunacy. It was nothing on the page. He didn't need that pen and piece of paper there. All it's done is draw attention to the fact that that looks crazy.
You know exactly what it looks like. It looks like a Kelly Moore playbook.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. Just Google or go on Twitter, X, whatever it's called nowadays, and just type in Jerry Jones and go look at the note. It's mess, right? But he did make another comment as well about Tyler Smith. And he said, look, is there a chance he could play left tackle? And he said, there is every chance he could play left tackle. Did he give a direct answer? No. And this is my problem. And did that help any of us understand what the plan is? Absolutely not. So my question, guys, is can we predict where Tyler Smith is playing, or is this completely up in the air again?
But that's why he didn't commit, because he loves people talking about his team. Mm-hmm. You know, like if he'd have come out and said, yeah, Tyler Smith, opening day of camp, he's a guard. Tyler Smith, opening day of camp, he's a tackle. People go, all right, okay, cool. And that kills the conversation stone dead. Whereas if he goes, well, he could do this and he could do that and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, blah, 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 blah. All the forums light up. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they all light up. What's he going to do? What's Jerry thinking? Jerry doesn't know. Jerry this, Jerry that. Tyler, Jerry, Tyler. That's what they want. That's what they want. That there's nothing being talked about in the NFL bar the draft right now. And Jerry just loves having his team in the conversation. If I was to commit, I think Tyler Smith starts at tackle.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure, like, we've been looking at the guard from Texas A&M. We had an interview. I can't remember his name, but he's going to be like a late rounder potentially. I think he could be one of the guys we could be drafting in the later rounds. Is that guard from A&M? But
Aki?
Yeah.
Hmm? Are you worried about Aki or Leighton Robinson?
God, give me a wee moment. I'll get his name because I put him on my mock draft. Hold on a minute.
Well, Paul's looking that up. My reason behind Smith at left tackle, I think how many times I've said that, Smith at left tackle is because I don't see a viable left tackle left at 24, 25, 26, no matter whenever the Cowboys actually end up picking on the night. I see more interior people like a Graham Barton. Mm-hmm. You know, you move Smith out to tackle, you put Barton at guard, possibly centre. He has played centre before, so far I'm reading. Started off at tackle. So there's a little bit of versatility there. And you've certainly got the trust in Tyler Smith. Been there, he's not a freshman. He's done it before. He's had a year of play, so at least a year of play. But it's a mess. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy's name's Leighton Robinson, the guard from Texas A&M.
Leighton Robinson, yeah.
So he's already had an interview with Dallas. He's projected to be like a late round, seventh round within that region. So he could be one of the guys that could get drafted for Dallas. Yeah.
He had a solid Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Mm. But, yeah, I mean... There's every chance of where he goes on the offensive line. And thankfully, Tyler Smith is kind of versatile in the way that he can play both in and outside. That it leaves them with extra options in this draft on which direction they want to go, which is kind of lucky in a way. But let's get on to the news of Ezekiel Elliott, guys. He's made the news in Cowboys land that there might be, and it's only softly at the moment, but there might be some interest in returning. How do you guys feel about that? And then I've got a sneaky little statistic here that we can play with.
Well, his jersey number's back available, number 21, because obviously Gilmore's not coming back. So, but yeah, I would welcome Zeke in a heartbeat. I really would.
Right now, Gilmore's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's still there.
Yeah.
He's still out there. For me, nah. I don't... Nah. Nah. If it... Like, obviously the Patriots weren't too impressed either. I think moving on from Zeke was the right thing to do. I fully agreed with the decision at the time. Maybe not in terms of cap number, but that's what happens when you restructure a contract so many times. You're going to pay a sore penalty sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
This just sounds like keeping fans on side.
I wouldn't say that, Graham. The reason that I would bring him back is because it all depends on the contract. He will not be a number one running back if he was to come back. Whoever who we do draft is likely going to be the starter because of fresh legs, the youth, the first 5 years rule, pretty much. If you're a running back coming out straight across, that's going to be your best years. Zeke's going to be in more of that pivotal goal line, short yardage type of running back, like which we kind of lacked last year. Like, well, we do have Dowdle, I guess, as well. But we need something different. And whoever we do bring in, if it's like Trey Benson, Estime from Notre Dame, or could be even Jonathan Brooks, which I'm not particularly that too keen on, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, because of the injury concern.
Mm-hmm.
So, but whoever we do bring in, lately, the chances are we are going to draft a running back, is likely they're going to be fighting for the starting role. And if we were to bring Zeke back in, he will likely be a backup role, which I have no problem with. But it would be a bit of a win-win in a way for the fans to see Zeke again, but also Zeke will still be playing with his team. He'll still be playing with Dak. He'll know the system to help these other guys like Zadus and stuff like that or whatever and that. So I'm worn down for that. So
no.
I know where you're coming from.
It doesn't grab me at all. Last entire season, 642 yards and 3 touchdowns.
But that was the tail end of the season, pretty much. He didn't really feature much at the start of the season, remember?
Here's my biggest problem, right, with the Zeke thing, right? I'm with you, by the way, first of all, Paul. I think bringing him in as a backup, as a rotational piece that can spell...
Running back by committee, I said.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can go down that road as well. But I think the biggest objection I have, now bearing in mind I'm not objecting fully to Zeke coming back, like I think welcoming back, we need bodies at running back at this stage, right? My biggest objection is, believe it or not, right, this is a crazy statistic. Last year we complained about the red zone. If you remember, that went on for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
We worried about Tony Pollard at the 5-yard line struggling to punch it in. Believe mm-hmm. it or not, in the red zone, both Tony Pollard and Rico Dowdle have a higher yards per carry than Zeke last season. Tony Pollard, in fact, inside the red zone, Tony Pollard had an average carry of 2.8 yards. Zeke, 2.1.
I don't know.
That's my biggest objective.
Does this talk not just scream, never mind who the Eagles have brought in, never mind that the Redskins have signed most of our B-list players, 21's back, buy your tickets now to see him. That's what it screams of to me. It doesn't scream, is Zeke Elliott the best thing for the Dallas Cowboys? This is all about 21's back, get your season tickets now on 1-800-da-da-da-da-da. He spent 1 year with the Patriots. He hasn't re-signed with anybody else. That's basically, to me, it's the Cowboys have no running back. Zeke Elliott's available. Let's put the two together. That's all that it says to me.
I'm going to slightly defend Zeke on this part, though. When it comes to the yards per carry type of stuff, bear in mind it's the Patriots right now. They're not the Patriots as they were before. Their offensive line is not as good as what we have. Bear that in mind. And also, they had Mac Jones, they had Zappa as the quarterback as in terms of handoffs. And not to mention, Zeke did join him pretty late on, at the start of the season, essentially. And for him to play catch up, and he did eventually get some momentum at the tail end of the season. That's where he got most of his yards from. So from that regard, I thought, all things considering, I thought he had an okay season. But when you put it all as one piece of paper, it doesn't look great, obviously. But when you break it down, it's not bad. I would still say, still bring him in as a backup.
Mm. Yeah,
I totally agree with you in terms of bring 21 back, get your tickets now. I totally agree with you in that one. I think that's how I would feel about that. But from the footballing side of things, I think it would be beneficial to have Dak and Zeke kind of lined up again, and he can actually mentor the other guys and stuff like that. And I don't know. It's a tough one, but I would be in favour of it as long as it's a backup role, not as a starter.
Not as your main key guy. Yeah. No. I'm with you there. Yeah.
But I agree with Graham also with the whole media part of it. I just don't like it.
Yeah. All right.
Would Zeke come in as a backup?
I think at this stage of his career, he would take
call it a day.
I think he would take every opportunity just to kind of
get to come back.
To come back, yeah. Like, Because he did say way back in the past when he was still in his rookie contract, he would love nothing more to give Dallas Cowboys a Super Bowl. Whether he still feels that same way about it, then okay, cool. If that's how he truly feels, then great, bring him on board. But if he's just there for a payday, then we don't want another bloody Dontari Poe on our hands.
Well, talking of running back, guys, I'm going to give you some names, right? Yep. So the first name I'm going to give you, Jonathan Brooks, right? I know you've already mentioned it, Paul, and you've got your reservations, but believe it or not, we're talking 30 visits right now. Jonathan Brooks is a 30 visit.
Yep.
Now, I know we've got our reservations, and I'm going to give you one little bit of optimism towards the whole Jonathan Brooks thing, right? He's a guy that they're going to have to use if they want him to take in the second round. We know what the Cowboys are like on their second round flyers. They like to take on these guys that have a checkered past, right? But going in their favor, the ACL surgery that Jonathan Brooks has just had was done by the Cowboys surgeons.
I can see Paul's stomach churning right now. See, to me, before Paul makes his comment, this draft, they need to drop the whole high risk, high reward second round pick. They cannot. They need to hit on every single pick in this draft, and that's not me being dramatic. That's me looking at the roster right now. They cannot afford to roll the dice on the 50th odd selection. Your second round pick is meant to come in and start day one, and he has to. I don't care what position he plays. Your second round pick from this year's draft and your third round pick from this year's draft have to start for the Cowboys. It's as simple as the roster stands right now. It's as simple as that.
Come on, Paul.
I don't know, I really have anything to add.
Right. Well, I'll put my little piece in, right? Well, and then I'll let you come back in if you want. But I think that the fact that they brought him in, knowing the medicals, the fact that the doctor, the surgeon who's done the work is on their team, that tells you a lot. That I don't have a problem with. The problem I do have is that Jonathan Brooks was a one-year wonder, but for only three quarters of a season. So he plays last season, looks fantastic, looks great, but only for a short period. We have only a very small sample size. And I don't like the fact that you're going to put so much down on only having something of very small, minute tape on.
I will say, from a positive standpoint in terms of that, though, there's not going to be as much wear and tear on him. In saying that, I just conjured that myself. He just bloody had an ACL injury. Forget what I just said.
But you mean in terms of like longevity, because of the fact that he's taken so few snaps. Obviously the year before he didn't take that much.
But last I think season... but the ACL would actually kind of destroy that theory, essentially.
In one sense, yeah. Because what you also have to take into account, which we kind of have to do with Diggs, which we kind of had to do with Tony Pollard, which is what we kind of had to do with Michael Gallup, is post ACL, you don't know really what kind of play you're getting back. Some guys take that, although they come back, they take that next year of just trying to refine and rejig themselves. Some guys, like with Michael Gallup, that athleticism just never comes back. So you just never know. I think that's the problem. Not like I'm with you that, yeah, okay, there's tread on the tires, but you don't know what the injury's done to him. You don't know, like, because especially for a guy like Jonathan Brooks with how he plays, you know, that slashing style, you have to be concerned about what's left. What did that take out of the tank? That's my concern. But another running back that they have brought in on a 30 visit is Marshall's running back, Rasheen Ali. Now, I don't know, are you guys aware of this guy?
I don't know too much about him, I'm being perfectly honest.
Haven't heard the name, not yet.
All right, so I'll give it to you straight, first of all. I'll give you the bad stuff, right?
Lovely.
2022 ACL injury. Last year, bicep injury. But now I'll give you the good stuff. I'll give you the good stuff, okay? He had an absolutely electrifying Senior Bowl. Like, we know what the Cowboys are like drafting Senior Bowl guys. Had a stormer of a Senior Bowl. Very athletic, right? This guy is just, he's really, really athletic. Really good burst, good top speed, really powerful as well. So, you know, like a between the tackle type runner that we were kind of after, fits the bill completely. Even though he's only 204 pounds.
No.
I know that sounds wild. Not happy with that idea either. Oh, sorry, he was 206 pounds. I just went and checked.
Fantastic. I was two pounds off.
You put some weight on for the combine.
I may as well eat myself a T-bone steak to meet that weight while I'm in. My God.
The Jones family have broken Paul and it's not nice. It's a proper shame. I mean, like, you'll know better than me, Mike. Have they spoken to Benson or Wright or Corum or Shipley? No?
Benson's had discussions.
Yeah, he's slated, but like, so, when it comes to, you'll see it a lot, that people will be like, oh, he's down. You know, like, I do the thing about 30 visits. The tweet I'm putting out on 30 visits is one who's actually confirmed, and they have been. Like, rumour and all the rest of it, I kind of veer away from. Benson is rumoured to have a 30 visit. You know, we'll have to wait and see if that materializes. It would make sense for them to do it. Even if they don't decide to draft him, to at least get a look in on him to find out what he's about, I think they need to do that. Now, that is one of the running backs. One guy, though, who we would be happy to hear about, who did have a 30 visit, I'm not saying that because of where he plays, but it is very important. Texas A&M's Egrin Cooper, he's had a 30 visit. One of the first. So I'm going to try and lighten the mood, yeah. How do we feel about that and how it pertains to the linebacker position?
I would take him in a heartbeat. I would. If he's there at 56, take him.
Graham?
Yeah. It's tough to argue with.
Okay.
But again, I'd also quite like to know how we stand at centre.
Right.
You know, because, like, give me a scenario, for instance. Have we picked up a run of the mill centre or?
Right. I'll give you a scenario. Right. We could go for the creme de la creme, which is Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round. If we don't decide to do that, we could probably get Zach Frazier in the early part of the second round, maybe trade up or something, unlikely trade up, but or trade back to get Zach Frazier. Or does Cedric Van Pine from, is it Georgia, Mike?
What's that, sorry?
Van Pine.
So you're on about, I'll get it now. Cedric, no. Hold on. I'm trying to remember his bloody name myself now. Cedric Van Pran.
Pran, that's what it is, right. So those are pretty much the top three options at centre. Van Pine, you could probably get him in the late second round, early third round. Perhaps.
Yeah, I think I've seen Van Pran go down as far as the fourth round.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys obviously don't have a fourth round pick.
The reason I ask is I'm not trying to devalue the linebacker position. Obviously, it's important. Every position has its own importance. But for me, the guy that sets the assignments on an offensive line with a fresh new running back and at least two rookies on it, they have to fix this line. And I get that he would be some pickup in the second, but you know what I'm like? I need to fix my offensive line first.
Well, this is why I've every mock draft I've done so far, it's always been offensive line. It could be Graham Barton, it could be Jackson Powers Johnson, it could be Marius Mims, it could be whoever. I mean, the good thing about this first round, it is loaded with offensive linemen. Like, we've got a really good chance of picking up a really good one at pick number 24 and be comfortable. And they could be flexible as well. Like Barton, for example, he plays left tackle, plays left guard, and has had some experience playing at centre.
Okay. No, so I asked you about Edwin Cooper because I have a situation, if you like, a problem with the draft philosophy and how you will sequence your draft, right? Is that, which would you say is more important to draft this year for the Cowboys? Offensive line or linebacker?
Offensive line.
Offensive line, and it's not close.
Okay. Which is deeper, quality offensive linemen or quality linebackers in this year's draft?
Quality offensive lineman.
Quality offensive lineman.
Okay. So, if we draft an offensive lineman in the first round, we could have theoretically got, because it's so deep, the guy in the second, where Edwin Cooper is ranked the 44th. He's ranked in the database as the 44th best player, right? So, if he doesn't make you to 56, you lose out. And we just said that there's plenty of offensive linemen, not so much in terms of off-ball linebacker. So if you want Edwin Cooper, who is the best off-ball linebacker, you're going to have to take him in the first. But it doesn't mean that you're going to miss out on a quality offensive lineman in the second.
I'm not going to lie. I'd be mad if we picked him up in the first round.
You're going to miss out if you don't. He's not going to make it to 56, I think.
But there's the Notre Dame linebacker I quite like as well. That would be an option as well. Lalafu, I think his name is.
Oh right, yeah, I know what you're about.
And I'm pretty sure he's due for a visit. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know what you're about. Maurice Leifu.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's due for a visit as well. Mm. I mean, after watching his highlights, he's literally a linebacker version of Troy Polamalu, from what I can see.
Yeah, 240-pound linebacker.
Yeah, and that fits the build of Mike Zimmer's defense, big, stocky linebackers.
But I'm going to ask Graham, I'm going to go back to this theory of first-round Edwin Cooper. You could take him. That fills your linebacker, and you can just take the rest of the draft with who you are. There's plenty of offensive line choice.
I understand the depth, and what you're saying makes absolute sense. I just don't think they can get cute with offensive line at the minute. Are you trying to help Dak or not? Would be my ultimate question. If I can get the fifth best, if I can get the fifth best tackle and the second best center, that would suit the way I wanted to play more than having the best linebacker and the 10th offensive tackle and the 12th, not say the fourth center. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Maybe it's my maybe it's my incorrect way of looking at it, but I think bringing in the top, one of the top five tackles or the best centre does more for Dak than bringing in a linebacker. But I totally get the theory that offensive line is deep, and if they can bring in somebody top at linebacker and somebody that's good at offensive line, I would rather get the best I could get as opposed to right who's left type idea. But again, I'm an offensive line guy. Maybe I'm not valuing linebacker highly enough.
Well, I'd say this, though. Another guy who has been quite interested in taking his Western in for the 30 visits is Western Kentucky's Malachi Corley. I don't know if you've seen this guy, but he is an athletic beast.
What position? Defensive end?
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about someone else.
I mean, like, this guy is like a 4.40, that type of guy. Runs a very quick shuttle. Here's an interesting one. I found this one out. On his GPS, so, you know, you can get the GPS data from the whilst they're playing. He actually is one of the fastest in this year's draft. He hit nearly 24 miles an hour.
I hope we don't do what the Raiders do, draft speed players, and it never works out.
Well, I mean, like, this guy, he is good. I mean, he's quite a nifty route runner, but he's more of a yak guy.
To be honest, everybody said the exact same with John. Is it John Ross?
John Ross, yeah.
I'm not bringing much to the conversation to anything. I'm saying I'm coming up with a negative here, but I need to be real here. Like,
you're annoyed, Paul, and you've every reason to be annoyed because nothing's happened. You're basically in the 90th percentile of Cowboys fans right now. We're frustrated. We are frustrated. I mean. I would love to see Paul's face on draft night if Nabbers is sitting there at 24, 25. Neighbours, Nabbers?
Neighbours, yeah. But you got it. We got it.
Can you honestly imagine if Nabbers is sitting there and they go, don't really fancy Jalen Tolbert at number 3? That would sell tickets.
I think it would be impossible for Nevers to get down there, though. He's a top 10 pick.
So was CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Like, some people actually see Nevers as...
Have I just put a thought
the number one... Head. Yeah. Like, there are some people who will argue with you that Nevers is the number one wide receiver in this draft. And it's come up a few times. But I don't see it myself. I do see him as a very, very different to Marvin Harrison Jr. No,
I think... But,
yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. You're using hypotheticals.
It's tongue in cheek. It's tongue in cheek. Yeah. But we didn't, in my opinion, and most of our opinions, they didn't need CeeDee Lamb. No, they needed other things.
I only think that this year, though, they haven't done enough in free agency to allow them to be this, which is something that's quite standard with them to be a BPA type drafting.
I think you're right. Just throwing it out for the discussion, but. Yeah. Wouldn't it be just like the Joneses? Because that would sell tickets. Wide receiver at 24, 25 would sell tickets.
Not this time around. I think people would be like, what in the frickin' hell are we doing?
Yeah, you know, like, you could go another way and imagine, I know, that, again, this is hypothetically, like a guy like, say, Brock Bowers was there. Now, we don't need wide receiver. But,
don't need tight end, my God.
I know. You don't need tight end. But,
you didn't need Shoemaker.
Yeah. Who, by the way, is having surgery on his shoulder?
Wonderful. Another tick off the box. And Mazi Smith. FML.
Yeah. Mazzy Smith also having surgery. Yeah, yeah. I made a tweet, funnily enough, about this, and that people are complaining, going, "Oh, Michigan, Michigan defenders, blah blah blah." And I was like, "Okay, fine. If you're saying we are scouting by the logo, how come then you're saying that these people are complaining, saying Michigan defenders, we got to stay away from them. Look at Taco," and then turn around and go, "Ah, yeah, let's get rid of Dak because we got Trey Lance." Oh, yeah, because North Dakota State quarterbacks have been fantastic in the NFL so far. Do you know what I mean?
I'd go ahead and give you that. That was pretty good, Mike.
Put that out as a tweet.
Would you say, Mike, that this year, best player available is out the window?
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Yeah, they haven't done enough to warrant it.
But hasn't best player available been the modus operandi for some time now?
They've always done it, yeah. And it's worked out for them. Look at, like, CeeDee Lamb is the best example of covering yourself in the draft, go into the draft that way. He falls down to you. You can take BPA now. And look at how that's worked out. But this year, the Cowboys have done literally nothing to be able to warrant that, doing that philosophy. 100% I'm with you. Yeah, they are a BPA team when it comes to the first round, most certainly. And it's not a bad idea. Like, I love that idea that if you're free enough with that, because what you're doing is you are essentially getting whatever is the best talent on your board at the time. Then what you've looked at, this guy is ranked the best. So that means you've got the best player on your roster. It's not a bad idea. And you can say, like, yeah, but you're going to get a player that's really not needed. Okay, well, then that means you just added more strength to something that is already a strength on your roster, i.e., you know, like, say, Brock Bowers. I know that's a crazy talk. And we're like, we don't need tight end. I agree. But if you imagine having a guy like Brock Bowers on the team, tied with Jake Ferguson, I mean, that's unstoppable. That's an unstoppable force. You're going to be playing 12-man personnel consistently. Brock Bowers is that movable chess piece then that you could throw around. It's not going to happen. Yeah. But in terms of BPA, completely changes the dynamic of your offense. And it has a high level player.
But again, this all goes back to the vagueness of what we're hearing out of the team right now. Because if Jerry was to come out in the morning and say, we're gonna move along the same model as the Patriots, the Packers, whoever, we're gonna draft and we're gonna develop. We're not interested in anybody's B list or C list that nobody else wants. We're gonna build through the draft and hopefully get to the Super Bowl that way. That is the complete opposite of we're all in. And what's frustrating guys like Paul and Cowboys Nation is they're not doing either. They're not going all in. They're not saying we're going to build through the draft. We're going to develop. This isn't going to be our year, but maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, we're going to start hitting the championship game. They're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They're not saying, right, we're going to move the rest of Dak's current deal to the void years and we're going to go out and get Christian Wilkins, we're going to go out and get Mike Williams and we're going to supplement both sides of the wall and go for it. It's too late for that. So there's no point in restructuring Dak's deal now. For who? They're all gone. Unless we bring Gilmore back, let's face it, nobody else wants because he's still sitting there. It's a rudderless boat.
Stephen made. I think it was Stephen Jones that made the comment, basically saying it's like with Gilmore being available, it's like we'll kind of wish him the best or something like that, something along those lines. So that was an indication that Gilmore's not coming back.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I know. It sucks.
I mean, can you imagine they brought Stephon Gilmore in for $2 million?
We couldn't even afford that. That's the frustrating part.
I do have, because I've literally just done an article, right, on 5 bargain basement guys.
Right, help me with it.
Yeah. So quarterback, cornerback. Sorry, not quarterback.
Quarterback. Behave yourself, mate.
No. Slap on the wrist. So cornerback was one of them, and one of the guys who you can get relatively cheap for about $2 million on the books was Brock Yasin.
Oh.
27 years of age. Now, I went and checked the statistics. He's not a guy who's going to get you many interceptions. The Cowboys don't need that. They've got two guys who led the leads in interceptions in separate years. But he has allowed an average completion rate of 55%.
He's more of a shutdown corner.
Mm-mm. He's a guy who can help. And he was with, I believe, off memory, he was with Baltimore last year. And they just didn't utilize him. They didn't put him on the field. He played hardly any snaps, which is why the price tag is so low.
Interesting.
Mm. Do you know, I've got another guy on that list that you will like, Paul? What? A guy who could place Jaron Curse, that can help in coverage, sub-package linebacker. And I know you like this guy. Really cheap. $5 million on the bucks. You can get him for roughly. Isaiah Simmons.
Oh.
He's currently a free agent. And here's a big one. I don't see the Giants re-signing him. So Wink is obviously gone. They've got a new defensive coordinator. This new defensive coordinator loves to rush. As opposed to with Wink Martindale, it's rush with a lot of numbers. So it's a lot of blitz packages. It's just like swallow. It's trying to overload the offensive line, which is why Isaiah Simmons was the odd man out, because he's not really this type of guy. But I think that even more so going forward with what they've got now makes him an odd man out. They don't know how to utilize him. But this guy, right, run a, I think it was a 4-3, 440, had like a 1.5 split, was elite in all the hops, ended up with a RAS score, right, Paul, of 9.97. Imagine that with Micah Parsons. You put him as the guy for Jaron Curse. You leave Marquise Bell in the sort of role he was in last year. You've got Eric Kendricks playing the run stopper. Just solved a big problem on at the linebacker position with one guy.
Has Kev seen somewhere else?
I don't believe so yet, but they're pretty much moving on from him. But what do you think of the Isaiah Simmons idea, Paul?
Potentially.
I can see the wheels turning.
The question is, can we bloody buy him?
$5 million.
Well, how much cap space do we have right now?
We can do a few things to free up cap space, just for whatever
reason. So as of right now, we can't do jack crap. That's my point.
We can do some more restructuring, Paul, and really do things over.
Extensions, restructures, free up a lot of money. Yeah. But for whatever reason, they're just refusing to. But I did have an idea as well in my top five bargain basement buys at wide receiver to fill that X-type possession wide receiver.
Tyler Boyd.
I've seen it. He's expensive. Yeah. He's expensive. I had a look at the numbers. You're looking at about $9 million. And I don't think the Cowboys are going to go that high. There is a cheaper option who has a better proven track record. Just he's been unfortunate with injuries. But this is bargain basement buy-in. Michael Thomas.
I was just about to say, Michael Thomas. Yeah.
Like this guy, last time he had a full season, which was in 2019, over 1,700 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Was it 2019 you said?
Yeah.
That's 4 years ago, Mike.
It's Bargain Basement buying, mate. If he was done that last year, he would be out of the price range.
Yeah.
But he didn't, but.
No, I know. But that's why he's so cheap.
How much are we talking?
Let me check. I believe it was about $3 or $4 million.
No. I would even incentivize that, if I'm being honest with you. Like, for a guy that's not really, like you said, since 2019, not had a full season, he missed out one whole year, I believe.
No, he did.
I can't justify paying a guy that's not played a full season in four seasons, $4 million, $5 million. I can't justify that. It would have to be a minimum veteran contract I would give him.
So what about if you did that, but you threw in a load of incentives? Four mil per, he's estimated at.
No. I wouldn't do it.
I can't spend $4 million on our third receiver when we've holes at guard, centre, tackle and running back. I can't do it. When you've got $6 million in cap space as they do right now, which is not enough for your rookie class, and then you've got to bring in Thomas on $4 million. Nah.
See, this is the problem. It's like we want these cool ideas of what players to bring in, but we can't do jack crap right now. And this is the frustrating part. Like, we want, like, even just to try and create content right now, it's just being pure negativity. There's nothing to be excited for and nothing to show all the positives about right now.
It's Dak's number, isn't it? The 55 stings right now.
But that's not Dak's fault.
This is the problem.
Is people keep saying, "Oh, he's so selfish. He's so selfish." This is the bit that winds me up, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
you do realize this isn't." So two things, right? So we all look at Leighton Van Der Esch and that shortened career due to injuries, because the NFL stands for not for long. So you've got to get that money while you're healthy. While that body is still able to take the punishment, grab that bag. That's rule number one. Rule number two is don't look at the cap number. Look at the average per year. Because what he is against the cap this year is the undoing of the front office constantly restructuring. Because you restructure, it might. So last season, were we all fine with Dak being only 25 million on the cap? Everybody was happy with that. Everybody would even make remarks about that.
Yeah.
Even show the fact that, oh, Dak only cost this much. Yeah, he's only that little because they've restructured.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with Dak. Dak still gets the same amount of money. This is what people don't realize. And they actually can restructure Dak's contract without telling him. Because all it is it's manipulation of cap numbers is all that they're doing when you restructure. And they don't have to inform him. They don't even have to inform his agent. They can just do it. Dak still gets his money. Doesn't make a difference. But then this year, then, against the cap, that's how it looks. And this is what happens when you start kicking the can early on the contract, and that's where we're up to. Plus there's the Voyagers, plus they restructured him again this year already, so now it's on to the Voyagers even more so, which means that if he finishes with the Cowboys this season, he has now essentially more dead cap once the contract's over. That's not Dak's fault.
$40 million next year and he's not even a Cowboy.
To not play on your team.
Oh, the times of us laughing at Carson Wentz is now finally coming to bite us in the ass.
But not through any fault of our own. It's on the front office.
Of course it is.
That's all it's on.
Of course it is.
Yeah, because here's the thing. We could have got Dak at $35 million per year a couple of years ago.
Yeah, if they'd done it earlier. I made this comment on one of the mailbags, is they asked the question about worst case and best case scenario. And I was just like, look, the best case scenario truly, really, is that year when they decided to franchise tag Dak, they should have got a long-term deal done then. which means that this conversation we're having this year would have been last year, and we'd all been over and done with, and we're moving on. And you think they would have done that contract. Dak then goes out, leads the league in touchdowns. Front office looks like a genius.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say to that one.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that. That crazy number of $40 million for next season when he's not even a Cowboy. As things stand, he's not a Cowboy. You see, you put it into the scenario, right? We're going to give him say they agree on a 5-year deal, whatever the number is. You divide that $40 million by 5 years. You spread it out, $8 million next to nothing. That's fine. You forget about it and we move on. Mm. But they haven't done that either.
No.
Yep. It's the inaction and I think is winding us up the most.
The irony is
what
that
are they doing?
You put void years on the contract. What you're doing is you're taking a gamble, but you're also saying that, look, yeah, okay, we're going to put these void years on your contract, but we can play with that on your next contract, which is why it's kind of a gamble. You're gambling on a number of things, that there's no decline in production, there's no decline in health and durability. You're going off a number of factors, because what you're also doing is you're saying, once that contract's over, this particular one, or the active part of your contract, we'll renegotiate then, because we don't want this hanging over our head. It's almost a little bit of a semi-safety net for that particular player, in this case, Dak. But then if you're not going to continue to keep him, then be prepared, because you put these voyages on there, not Dak's fault, but because you put these voyages on there, you're now going to have to take up quite a considerable chunk now of dead cap. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to have to do.
This is supposed to be about the draft show, and we're talking about the front office pretty much this whole episode.
Well, here we go, right? I will say this, Paul. Me and you did some mock drafts at the start of the week, and we got some heat on my draft.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Because, and I did it on purpose, and this was before the Dak news came out, that with the last pick, because of how Mike McCarthy is with quarterbacks in the final pick, I took a quarterback with the final pick, Graham. People were a little bit upset, saying, that's so stupid, there's bigger needs. Literally about an hour later, wasn't it, Paul? It came out then. Dak and the front office haven't come to an agreement for a contract. Now you're kind of like, I don't know, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
But we'll strike a really good mock draft on Saturday show, Paul.
Yep, absolutely.
All I'll say on that one is that Mike McCarthy drafted Aaron Rodgers at 24 when he had Brett Favre.
Yes, exactly.
Dak's gone into the last year of his deal. They haven't extended him.
I mean, like, the one thing I will say...
Is it completely wild?
No, but
I don't think it is.
I will say, though, that the Aaron Rodgers thing, while Brett Favre, like, Green Bay kind of, once Aaron Rodgers fell that low to them, you'd be mad not to take him. Like, that was just crazy.
What if Drake May falls to 24?
It's all silly season.
It's all silly season. But what are they doing with Dak? If he's your guy, extend him. I don't get what they waiting for. Because at some point during the 2024 season, Dak is going to go, do you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm going to go and play for the Cardinals on $55 million. Stuff the lot of you. I don't need this. What are they doing? If they would just extend Dak, forget all about him. If they would just
that's what I've said. It's like what I would prefer is, I don't want my very words was no half baked ideas. So don't go into one set of idea and heel turn halfway through, right? Because that is really going to mess you up in terms of how you're going to construct your roster, how the future outlooks, how you want to try and forecast your cap, messes everything up, right? But if you're going with one set of plan, go with it and stick with it. If Dak's your guy for the future, go out and extend him, right? I'm fine. I'll get behind you on that. Absolutely. If, though, Dak isn't your guy and you're not looking to extend him, right, let's start bringing some quarterbacks in then on these 30 visits. Let's start going to their pro days and checking them out. Let's have some private workouts. Because if he's not your guy, you now need to get ready for the future. You need to go and get that guy. What I don't like the idea of is going into one set of idea and then getting like nervous and anxious halfway through and spinning about, because now you it was all for nothing.
Mate, I think you've forgotten something.
Yes, sir.
We've got Trey Lance.
Don't start me in Trey Lance. Do not start me in Trey Lance. Yeah, we're going to pick up his bonus. We're skint, but we're going to pick up his bonus.
Apparently,
right, okay, cool.
Apparently, this guy, who in his last game of college for North Dakota State had an absolute stinker. This guy, who couldn't beat out Brock Purdy, right? Although Trey Lance is considered a first rounder, and Purdy was
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah,
he couldn't beat him out, and got traded for a fourth round pick, right? This guy apparently is supposed to beat out Dak, who has led the lead in touchdowns last season. It just blows my mind that people have that style of thinking. What has Trey Lance shown you to warrant the idea that he's going to be... What, just because he got drafted in the first round?
That's pretty much all I've come up with. Yeah. Well, I'd love to know what Cooper Rush makes of the whole thing.
Oh, well, he's going to be gone by next year because he's on the last year of his contract as well.
Yeah. And the only reason Cooper Rush is still in the building was because his plane, when he would take off last year, got hit by lightning. I went, nope, that's a sign.
Did it actually?
Yeah. He got to the airport, he was boarding the plane, there was a lightning strike, and he turned around and went, I'm not getting on the plane.
What is your guys' opinion? Is Rush two or three?
Two.
So it's a hell of a lot of money to pay your third quarterback.
Exactly. Like you look last season, every week, Trey Lance was designated QB3. So he's inactive, but he's the QB3 under the QB3 rules. So that tells you everything you need to know. The even the coaching staff believe he's the third quarterback. Go on, Paul.
I think we're going to be utilising Trey Lance as part of a trade deal.
I think this is what they're trying to do. I think that there is also some buyer's remorse in the fact that they used this fourth round pick that they could really do with this year now. They could do with that fourth, because they pick in the third round and then that is it. They got to wait. They got to wait until pick like 150.
I think it's like over 70 spots or something like that.
It's a long time to wait when you have nothing on your roster.
What do you think is reasonable for Trey Lance?
I mean, Get your fourth back.
It's a one-year rental. Yeah. As it stands, it's a one-year rental. I think you'd be lucky to get a fifth or a sixth for Trey Lance. No,
I think you'd get your fourth back. You would. Somebody would be willing to do that. Because it's such a quarterback-hungry league. You have to kind of semi-overpay.
Hear me out in this scenario, right?
Yeah.
We actually trade back, say...
That works.
Like four or five places, but we also trade away Trey Lance and we pick up an extra second and an extra fourth.
Yeah, works.
So we've now got
two twos.
Yep, two twos, a fourth.
A third and a fourth.
And we still keep our first round as well.
Yeah. I'd love the idea. I love the idea of moving back to 33.
Oof.
The first pick on the second day, you've got the whole night to think about it.
No, I don't know. Jerry won't do it because you don't get that fifth year option. He loves the fifth year option.
Yeah, because he doesn't pay his talent.
Yeah, it
he just holds on to it too late, and he has to franchise them.
Yeah, that is true.
Mic drop.
But I tell you what, guys, because we've rattled on long enough, let's finish on a high. Let's finish on a happy note.
How are you going to do that?
Go on then, Paul, hit me with it.
Oh, yeah. But I don't have the energy to do it tonight, man. I really don't.
All right, but, go on, Gray.
If you're planning to see the Dallas Cowboys pull a rabbit out of the hat next year, make sure you book up with Cowboys Experience. They have game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more. And remember to use the promo code UK Cowboys, because as Rich will tell you, you get
free stuff.
Which is what the Cowboys need right now, because they don't need any money.
Do with some free money. All right then, guys. So yes, we will be back on Tuesday for another episode of the Prospect Project, where we're going to look at some players in this year's draft. So that will be the same time, 9 o'clock UK time on Tuesday. Obviously, don't forget to check out Blogging the Boys, where you'll see me and Paul on the world's team as well. So have a great weekend. Stay safe, whatever you get up to. It is Easter as well, so get plenty of chocolate eggs in.
Oh, I'll certainly be doing that. It, my food comfort right now.
Chocolate eggs, I like it. So yes, make sure to do that. But of course, I started the show off with the first word. So these guys are going to have the last word. Have a great one, guys. Stay safe. See you on the other side.
You think in the room?
Yeah, it's do something.
Just do it!